Fantasy Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we bring to you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Welcome back.
Hey, did anything interesting happen
in the couple days I was... next time you go out of town, I'll make sure I listen the whole day because something's going to happen.
There's a doings a transpiring.
Hello, right. Baby.
Everything that's right.
Calm down now, or are we still up on edge?
I think that probably answers your question if we both have the same response like that.
I think the point is it's a bye week, and so I would expect that it continues until the Cowboys get back out on the field. That things are we're gonna have lots of questions about what's going on,
or maybe until they win a game.
It'd be nice to have that happen against the Niners.
That's right. Absolutely.
One of the key factors, Mickey, to winning a game is tackling. And I was kind of curious on what Al Harris's thoughts were on how things are going in that secondary.
Well, his answer to it was tackling is a team thing. It's not just an individual person. And I think I can't remember if he said it or Zim said it. We just got to get more guys to the ball. It's not just one individual. It's a team thing. And I heard you guys talking about it earlier. And if you go to a high school game, that's where the tackling part starts. Problem starts.
I could see that.
I've seen more.
Not for Duncanville.
Some of the good teams know how to tackle, right? And they'll lay some wood. But I see some other teams, and it's all – it reminded me of going to see my nephew play in junior high, and it was all arm tackling, right? No one's going to use the shoulder pads. And then I started seeing it sprout up in high school. And if you watch enough college, a lot of times it's a lot of hand and arm tackling instead of, you know, learning to tackle from the beginning. So I think it's a digression as you go on and on and on, and then it gets into the NFL that – you just never learn to tackle the way you're supposed to tackle. It's got to be better, though.
Did you talk to your nephew about the flaws in his tackling?
Yes, I told him. Okay. They gave you shoulder pads. Use them.
Okay, good. I just needed to know that, like, you're like, I love you, but...
you got
to
be better at this.
Yeah, there are still flaws in your game.
I'll tell you what the solution could be. Go find the Brian Cox shoulder pads and make them all wear those, and then they'll
put a collar on the back of your
neck.
They'll
have the big shoulder pads to use. Maybe our shoulder pads are too small.
Well, everybody tries to wear the smallest ones they can, Mike.
I know. Those defensive tackles, they still look weird to me that they look like they're wearing kickers' shoulder pads, but I get it.
I remember the first NFL game I saw, and Dick Butkus was playing for the Bears, and I think it was – maybe Joe Schmidt, a middle linebacker for the Detroit Lions. And I thought they were the biggest things I've ever seen in my life because they would wear these big, they're big to start, right? And then these shoulder pads were just gigantic. And it was like, oh my, they look like that, the character on the Fox pregame show, you know? You know, and that's what that reminds me of, what those guys looked at when I was a kid.
I don't know if you were there at this moment, but I know Al Harris was talking some yesterday, and obviously tackling came up. Is it? I wanted to ask, like, is it just poor technique? Is it run fits, footwork, or is it just logical to say it's probably a combination of all of those things?
Yeah, everything, right? And then you could add want to.
Oh,
yeah, but don't desire. You think?
Oh, no, yeah. I
you know it's technique for sure. You know, and it's got to be a team thing, but you also got to want to do it. You know, you can't make business decisions out there. And so, but look, they had more problems than just tackling, right?
Sure.
They had problems being in the right spot to tackle. They had problems not getting pushed off the line of scrimmage. So the linebackers can make tackles instead of having to deal with offensive linemen coming off and picking them off. So, there's a lot of things. And you'd like to say, well, we got 2 weeks to fix it. No, you got 1 week to fix because they're off all week. It's the bye.
Yeah, it is time to work on that for sure.
Should I, Corey, since you said that, and Mick, based on what you just said, I didn't read up before I asked this question. I apologize. I'm assuming, though, that would be against the collective bargaining agreement.
Well, yeah, no, that is the collective bargaining agreement.
Okay.
You've got to give these guys, I think, 4 or 5 straight days off. So You can get back at it on Monday. And by the way, if you practice actual tackling in practice, to probably the NFLPA and come in and say, no, you're too much contact in practice. Oh, can't be doing that.
Yeah, it's,
so
I mean,
you can
it's
practice
tough.
The technique and getting in the right spot. But a lot of times missed tackles are not because you're not willing. You're just not there and you're grasping, right? It's like, oh, I got beat. Now I got to try to grasp and bring a guy down when I wasn't in position to make the tackle. Same thing what I've told you guys about penalties. You know, generally penalties come because you're getting your ass beat and you're just hanging on for dear life. Especially
holding penalties. Yeah.
Or false starts because you're afraid that Micah Parsons across the line from you. And you're going, okay, I got to get going here as soon as I can because he's so fast. And then you false start.
Now, Corey, would you agree with this? And then, Mickey, obviously, I want your thoughts as well, that if you're going to commit a penalty, at least make sure you end up winning the play.
Absolutely.
Now, I know it's not going to count for anything, but I always think it's particularly discouraging when an offensive lineman gets called for holding and still gave up the sack or the quarterback hit or whatever the case might be.
No, you're exactly – I think we saw one or two of those on Sunday, right?
Yes.
You got called for holding, but you didn't hold well enough. You know, it's like if you're going to hold, get your money's worth.
Yeah, just hold.
Yeah.
If you're gonna be offsides.
Or if you're going to commit
I agree.
Pass interference, you know, make it good. Don't let the guy get a chance to catch it, right? Make it good, like the guy did on Turpin, jump on his back.
Yeah. Yes,
and that's what stinks so much. Whenever like a quarterback gets tapped, and they're like, "Yeah, we got to throw a flag," and you're like, "Man, you should have made that one hurt a little bit, I guess, because that wasn't really worth it." Sometimes,
you just want to drive him out of the game because I know I'm going to get penalized anyway.
That's
what it sounds like. He just said that is what it sounds like. He just said.
Now I know I saw this because we sent you over to the Zimmer press conference shortly after our segment yesterday. And I heard him say that he felt like he panicked a little bit, and that
he
was
used
later in the
word,
show.
He said he was, you know, saw some things happen early, and he changed some things up. And he said I should have been more patient, and he did use the word panic, and you know, whatever he changed to, I don't know how much that helped. But they got out of what they wanted to do early because something happened in the game, a play or two, and then they tried to change it. I think they were trying to change kind of their coverage scheme. Like they, you know, were going to make sure that they were playing what they call a cloud cover, where you got, you know, you kind of make a semi-circle cloud so you don't get beat deep. And then when they were getting run on, it's like, okay, well, now we got to do this to stop the run. And then they get you with a, double reverse.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call that play, 52-yard touchdown.
Yeah, that thing, I mean, Hooker got really caught up, but I can't blame him. You know,
as soon as it started developing, before he even threw the pass, I was like, well, there's no way we have this covered.
Yeah, well, you know, and when you're not stopping the run, and then they got an end around going, and then they, you know, and then they get it to the running back, and then he pitches back to the quarterback, it's like, yeah, something bad's getting ready to happen, and sure did, because they bid on the runs.
That's something that they saw, obviously, as they were going through that. Now, I know McCarthy also threw out the he gave them like a 10 questions to ask themselves.
Yeah, he didn't give us the questions.
Okay, all right.
But I thought that was one of his better Monday quotes, that when he was talking about all that stuff, the questions and, you know, things you got to take care of. I thought, because usually on Monday he's I don't know if it's the emotional hangover from the game, good or bad, but I thought he was pretty direct on how he answered, especially that question, giving us a little bit more insight about the questions that, you know, he posed to the team to let them contemplate, because at least they can think about questions. They can't go out and fix them because there's rules in the CBA.
Yeah. Man, I'm really fascinated by that.
Mickey hates the rules. He's always been a rule hater.
I mean,
I like it.
I think there's probably a lot of people who don't have to go through the practices like me that also dislike those rules. But I'm really fascinated by the idea of how much can you improve strictly by like envisioning it or thinking about it,
not
or
having
like
reps.
Exactly, and not actually doing the reps. I'm really fascinated by that concept.
Yeah, and I think you can. I think you. I mean, you guys have played stuff, right?
Yeah.
And before you go out and play, don't you start kind of going through your mind of, okay, this is how I'm going to do this, and when this comes up, this is what I'm going to do, and you know, you just kind of visualize things, and so yeah, I think it does help. You know, it's like, well, I'll give you an example of playing tennis, and you know, before you go out there, you're sitting there going, okay. This is how I got to toss the ball, and I got to be patient, and this is how I'm going to hit my serve, right? And not try to get out of whack. And, you know, and I'm sure these guys do the same thing of thinking about, well, this is my route, and this is where I got to hit this foot and make my break right here. But I don't know that you're going to sit there the whole time on vacation and, you know, kind of go over that, but I think it crosses your mind. And if they bring it up, it you know, it's like, okay, well, the coach said, and maybe they do think about it. But at least they can do that because you can't go out and practice. God forbid if we get too physical.
Man, I feel like...
I'm telling you, man.
I don't know. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's another day. I think like we need a Mick Rants against the collective bargaining agreement on here.
Oh, there's a lot there that's to, you know, that they gave up stuff to make it easier on them, and the quality of play in the NFL is not near what it was 20 years ago. And I'm not trying to be old man, get off the yard or whatever, lawn. It's just I think it shows up in the quality of play because they don't play football to get ready to play football. And that seems counterproductive.
Outstanding stuff, man. Really appreciate it. We will catch up with you again tomorrow, right?
All right. Good questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. We did it. Did it. There you go.
That's awesome.
Mickey Spagnuolo right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Coming up next, does your friend have a terrible sports or pop culture opinion? Or maybe do they say antibiotics? Let's discuss it in My Buddy's an Idiot right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053 on the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorney text line. Or you can get involved on the YouTube, on the Twitch. It's time for My Buddy's an Idiot, 877-881-1053. Now, I want to start with a decidedly non-sports thing if we can, because I heard this in Vermont. It was this group of ladies at the Maple Farm.
Are you going to talk about Vermont all day,
yeah,
Kevin?
Yeah, what you got, syrup?
No. I feel like we haven't...
That's fine. I'm just joking.
But she said, yeah, because they need to get some more antibiotics.
Huh?
And I was like, no. 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 But... I've started to think about it a little bit more.
Antibiotics.
If somebody said antibiotics, you could live with that, right?
Antibiotics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just breaking it down.
Okay, but then why?
How do you say it?
Antibiotics. How about antibiotics?
Antibiotics.
Okay, or you can say it like that. But why does antibiotics feel so wrong? Because it sounds like a fancy way of saying a butt.
Maybe that's her.
What did you just say?
Yeah, maybe that's her aunt's name.
I'm sorry, Mike. I was still like caught up in what he just
said. My antibiotics.
So yeah. My you should be center is,
my
for the Cowboys.
So is Audix.
The B-O part is the wrong part, though. The B-A.
Yes.
Because nobody says, you don't say biodome. You don't say biology. It's biology.
When is the last time you said biodome?
Last like 2 weeks ago. Actually, I was talking about it with
like
my kids.
10 seconds ago.
I love that movie. It is hilariously dumb. But yeah, it's bio. And that's part of, doesn't that mean like organisms, human stuff? You know, like
I'll
living things. I don't know.
You want me to look up what does bio mean?
Yeah, what is bio?
No.
Look up biology. Look up what bio means. So yeah, I feel like it has to be biotic. I don't even know where she got biotics unless she was intentionally trolling you to see if you were like jump off sides.
I don't think so, because she was in a group with, it looked like a bunch of fancy ladies. And so I think that might just be how they talk, fancy like in Vermont. No,
fancy people use the right words too, though.
Are you sure?
They do say some fancy words the wrong way.
But yeah, is that person an idiot for saying antibiotics?
Yes.
Or do I just need to deal with it?
I think so. Because
bi means two or twice.
All right. But what does bio mean, Mike? Yeah, bio means life. It means life.
Bi means two or twice.
Yeah, two lives is what you're, when you add the O to it, it means two lives.
Are we trusting Mike to look up definitions for things?
If there's one thing that I know about Mike, it's when he does research, it's good research.
Yeah.
Do you not remember the helium situation?
I think I proved myself on helium.
I do. I do.
What about whales?
Yeah.
Look, you have dunked on me about whales numerous times. I understand. You were right.
What about when I told you, no, it's not one hydrogen, it's two hydrogen in water?
See? He's got you on science, bro.
I don't know about that other one, but...
What was your favorite science class? Do you remember?
You don't know how many hydrogens there are in water? Is that what you're asking?
No. No, that is not. No,
there's two.
That's not what anybody's asking.
From the six,
it took an hour and a half for you to piss me off. Like you're Sean.
From the 682, Jerry Jones is going to fire y'all if you keep talking smack. You better not take it for granted.
Okay, now that is a quality joke. Yes, okay. No, I'm Mike. I got it.
Listen,
I promise.
No, if you want to explain, Mike, it's okay.
Oh my God,
granite is not, but my son,
type of rock.
My son,
geology.
Yes. Carter says, "What when you say if it's technically, how do you say it?
Technically.
How do you say it, Mike? Technically. Okay. He says technically.
What?
T-E-T.
Like a technician.
Like, you know, but he says like tet. And I'm like, you can't, it's not technically. And he's like, yeah, it is technically. And I'm like, no. And it drives me nuts. That is driving me nuts. So yes, antibiotics, my kid's saying technically.
Okay.
A tetanus shot.
Go ahead.
In Vermont. You know how they have syrup?
I do.
Did they have any cocaine?
I did not. What? I did not come across any cocaine. I can't rule it out.
It's probably good for him that he didn't cross it.
Yeah, because your vacations.
It's not a rehab. Just like I didn't went on the cruise was not for a rehab.
Vermont seems like a good place to rehab, though, doesn't it?
I could see that, man.
It doesn't exist.
Peaceful. What?
It's not a real place.
It is. It is a real place. It's not very big.
Refuse. No. Nope.
And the homes feel very far apart. Like, you drive a long way without going. You know what's really weird? The exits are so far apart. You know how, like, it can be an approximation of, like, if you're 10 exits away, maybe you're give or take 10 miles away. If you're 10 exits away in Vermont, you might be 125 miles. Like, those exits come up, like, every 10 miles or something. It's crazy.
There is a lot of stuff out there that Vermont is not real. What is this? I've never heard of this.
I was there. I'll bring you the shot glass.
I think it's part of New Hampshire.
I mean, look, obviously it should. We should condense several of those states up into a unified New England, and then we'd have room for new states, but that's neither here nor there.
From the 903, it kills me when people say supposedly.
Or does anybody ever say library?
What?
Or nuclear.
I say Wednesday all the time instead of Wednesday because I feel like that's how it's supposed to be said. Like, it's spelled with a D in front of the N.
Okay.
It's like Favre.
Not that this is going to go in a totally different direction, Mike, but I think...
I say buongiorno a lot.
And ciao.
And ciao.
This one actually kind of makes sense to me.
And bagno.
Does that... Yes. From the 817, my daughter says baptized. Now, that kind of makes sense to me, actually.
How old is your daughter? Because if she's, like, young, that's cute.
Okay, but if she's 25,
she's like 17,
you're like, hold on. But that actually makes sense to me, because depending on how you get baptized, it could either, you know, just they put something on your forehead or you get dunked in
a
pool.
Huge bath. Yeah,
so that actually does kind of make sense to me.
There you go. Proud of you, Kevin.
Shut up. Back to you, Corey.
Oh, man. Let me go back to the things that I have pulled up then, Kevin. Because USC... My buddy's an idiot. USC, are they idiots?
I did not think he was ready for that transition.
Wait, are you guys going to ask me a question?
Is USC
like,
a bunch of idiots?
I have to have something in this segment because I'm nervous now.
USC allows fans.
The NFL when I was on G-Bag?
No, don't worry about it. USC allows fans to pay $1,450 to $1,800 to run out with the team.
Ooh.
So they get to run out on the field if they've paid out onto the field and be with the team. That's cool. Like that would be
agreed
an awesome experience. And my question to y'all then is also, what would you want to run out with or go out with? Like if it's would you want to run out with Seager and be like, I get to run to shortstop with him and hang out or something like that? But this weekend.
Like you're going to get to stand on the field
while
the game's going on?
No, just think about it for a second.
Before the game.
But they were playing Penn State this weekend. A Penn State superfan paid the participation fee and dressed in all Penn State stuff and ran out with the USC football team.
That's a good bit.
I mean, my dad thinks this. That you should have like for $100,000 to up to $1 million a game that a person gets to dress out as a Dallas Maverick or a Texas Ranger.
That'd be cool.
And they just sit on the bench. Obviously, you can't get in the game. You're not, but you can maybe go through the layup line or you can go out there and jog like to get ready for the game.
I did not know this. I'm sorry. I just scrolled down on this story, Mike. I didn't know this. I don't know if you knew this or not.
No, I have no clue.
You can pay $3,900 to throw out the first pitch for the Blue Jays.
Oh, during a season?
And you can pay a winning bid of $5,430 for the ceremonial first pitch at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
They start a bid at $10.
That. Yeah.
That's cool. Like that, I don't have that kind of money, but that is. I'd love to throw out a first pitch. It would be so awesome.
But if you
please, Rangers, ask me and Kevin and Mike and Alec to come throw a first pitch out.
If you needed to add another player to the team, if you just let a fan sit in the dugout every game for $100K, you'd get $8.1 million.
Dude, that's a player.
That's a solid player.
That's a role player, a nice
relief pitcher.
That is an interesting
point.
Just
to let a fan sit on the bench.
But you're getting that money, but that doesn't mean you can circumvent like the levels of tax and stuff,
true.
Right?
They're the tax thing's going to hurt the Rangers here.
Because taxes.
I mean, I do think that's a funny bit. I don't know if I'd be willing to pay almost $1,500 to do that bit of running on the field, but I think it'd be amazing.
Because you don't want to run?
I'd rather have the money.
Would you just want to walk out and wave? Is that more?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and do the fancy wave with your cupped hand.
Can I get a motorcade instead? You know, yeah. Like get a golf cart here, guys.
But if you could do any of that, wouldn't you want to do the talcum powder with LeBron?
That would be awesome.
That would be super cool. That's what I would pick.
Like Bronny.
Yes.
He gets to do it for free.
You think Bronny will talcum powder?
Let me ask you this, Mike, before you even finish that question.
He's the starting two guard.
Are you actively rooting for Bronny James to do terrible this year on the court?
Crap. Why would you ask me that on the air? That's an off the air question.
Okay, never mind.
Because I think people know my answer.
Okay.
I shouldn't. How about that?
Okay.
But in a way, I understand as we have gone over the history of the NBA, not every player, but I'll just look at the Greek Freak, right? He has two brothers in the NBA. Both of them don't deserve to be in the NBA. But they are. The Mavericks hired one of them. Just so the small possibility of the Greek Freak being told by his brother, I really liked my time with the Dallas Mavericks. If you're looking for a new team. Like, I get it. There's a whole bunch of, why am I drawing a blank on the word?
Nepotism
in sports and in the NBA.
Yeah.
And this is super duper nepotism. Everybody knows it. Maybe Bronny doesn't, but everybody else in this world knows it, that he shouldn't be in the NBA. So it's really tough to root for somebody that didn't earn it, doesn't belong there. That is the tough part of your question is, I don't feel like I should be rooting for somebody who didn't earn it and doesn't belong there.
And I think he could have earned it.
Maybe so, yeah. Two more years in college, and he would have been like, yeah, everybody wants him. Literally no team in the NBA wanted him.
And I think that's the part that is like probably annoying to people is he very well could have earned his way. And you'd be like, oh, damn right I want Bronny James. I got a lottery pick. Let's see what happens.
You think Golden State leaked that they wanted him because just to help or something?
It was all for the agent's sake and everything. But, I mean, what guy are you like, man, you know what I'd really like? A 6'1" guy who averages 4 points and one rebound and one assist.
J.J. Barea was far better than that.
I agree.
My buddy's an idiot. A Baltimore insurance company has fired the Ravens fan who allegedly pummeled a pair of Commanders fans in a video that went viral. Yeah, this dude walked around wearing a Lamar Jackson jersey, approached two Commanders fans, and proceeded to kick, punch, and slam them in violent acts.
So they weren't even in the middle of a beef?
Turns around and says, "I don't lose. I don't effing lose." And boasted about it. And then the internet, obviously what the internet is, went out and started saying, "Who is this guy? He's the worst." And Maryland, the police department in Baltimore issued a statement. They found him, and the dude got fired from his job and said, "We do not support this." Evidently,
as he should.
Evidently, there's even more on this guy that, like, he has some bad history already of some really bad things. But if I hope, I don't. The video's awful, dude. Like, he just walks up and just starts slugging people for no reason. I was like, I wanted to punch this guy for it.
I don't understand that. I'm not saying it's like better if they were drinking and arguing the entire game, but this feels super odd to just be like walking after the fact and being like, "I'm going to destroy this person."
And then the Spanish team championship in the honor division for the title in Spanish ex-slave. I don't know. That's a lot of words. 22-year-old Ukrainian Kirill Shevchenko. He's been playing chess for the Romanian Federation since 2023. He was excluded from the championship after two rounds. Both of his game results were canceled. He left his seat unusually often in the second round to visit the toilet. His opponent became very suspicious and complained to the referee. Because complaining to the referee in chess, like, nobody ever does that, right?
I'm honestly not sure. I have to admit, before you just said that, I did not know that there was a referee in chess.
Every time Shevchenko, every time he returned from the toilet, he made several moves without thinking twice and then disappeared again. And then he would come back and make more moves. And they were like, "Something's going on." He would go to the toilet and he would go through his phone and ask the phone to help him make moves based on what was on the board.
Oh, wow.
And then he would come back and he would have those lined up in his mind.
But isn't your clock running?
But to Corey's point,
I think you get a timeout during bathroom break.
But even if you didn't, if you can make like three or four moves just straight away, just click, click, click on the clock, that probably helps make up.
They also realized he was going to the same cubicle or stall. I call it a stall. I'm not going to call it a cubicle. That's where we work. But he would go to the same spot. That's where he had his phone hidden. He had his phone hidden in that one. I don't know if like in a plastic baggie in the stall or whatever. And he would be in there for long periods of time. Look, I go to the bathroom for a long time. That's fine. But not like that many times to win a chess match.
When's the last time you were in like an uber competitive chess match? We're like,
never. Okay. I mean, like if you count me against my kids, but that's it. I've never really been in a competitive chess match.
I cannot say that I have been either. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how about we throw out some gridiron gravy right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. It's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
There we go!
Gridiron Gravy, of course, brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home?
Shield it.
Visit rhinoshieldtx.com. Now, you kind of gave this tease from earlier, Corey. Alan McNeil got a new four-year, $97 million extension. Now, I'm sure that this discussion has been taking place for some time, but having your way or, like, really more than holding your own against Zach Martin probably helps expedite the process, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, he looked so good. I mean, Zach Martin, we asked Steven, Zach and I did on Monday, we asked Steven,
how did that go?
By the way, Zach Wolchuk is a pleasant. He's delightful to work with.
He's
nice. Prepared. He was like, "You know what? Can I do Gridiron Gravy?" I was like, "Hell yeah, buddy, let's go." So he was wonderful to work with. That being said, Alec Medford is the best. I just want to put it out there. I want to let it be known.
I like
He's phenomenal at what he does. We asked Steven about Zach Martin's game, and Steven was like, "Look, he was injured, had a bad week of practice, didn't really practice leading up to it, but then he said he wanted to get out there." So Zach didn't look like Zach Martin. He didn't look like the all-timer that we've known our whole lives, and lately he hasn't looked like that. I think that's just because age is hitting. Broadus brings up that's one of the reasons he thinks Jerry's upset. I got a lot of the guys that Jerry is paid aren't playing up to the level of what they've been paid lately.
And Zach Martin is particularly tricky, although I guess there are several players like this on the list, is once this season is over, you still have a huge dead money hit coming with him if he were to retire or whatever else.
But the thing is Jerry makes those guys, if they do retire early, he makes those guys give back the money. So the salary cap, he could have the most to spend on the team the next year.
Nope.
I remember when he did that with Tony Romo, he said, it's fine if you're going to retire, but I need to build the best team around Dak Prescott. So you have to give me back the $18 million that you didn't
I believe
earn.
He's being sarcastic.
On the McNeil front, I do.
The guy's a 6-time Super Bowl champ.
No.
And he's a Hall of Famer for his general managing of football.
True.
So he probably always does the right thing to build the best teams.
I do wonder when it comes to McNeil's contract, after Hutchinson got hurt, and they're like, crap, you know, we don't want to deal with this guy feeling like he has leverage for one, maybe, but we also need a little motivation for him. Let's go ahead and get this guy locked up and let's see the best performance out of him until Hutchinson can come back. Maybe that was another motivating factor. Or as you said, maybe it was just always in the works.
Now, Tom Brady did receive unanimous approval for his Raiders acquisition per Tom Brady. He feels like a reliable source of this information. Who's more up to date with what's happening about Tom Brady than Tom Brady?
Yeah.
All right. Do you think this is, because I know people have been focused on his announcing, and I know it's a small part of the team, but do you think this is a big deal? Like,
yes.
This could grow in terms of how much of the team he owns and becoming more of, like, eventually the face of the franchise? Or are you just like, hey, he's got a lot of money, invest in a team?
Well, I think, Kevin, you know, when
I would do that.
We talked about this a lot of times. You brought this up. Cannot criticize refs or other teams.
Yeah.
Not allowed to gamble, which makes sense. Banned from other teams' facilities. Cannot watch practice. No access to broadcast production meetings. Subject to the NFL's anti-tampering policy. The broadcast production meetings, Mike, we were just talking about that with Mike and what he does whenever he calls baseball games. You feel like it's important for you to have the information that you get from going into the clubhouse and talking to the players, being on the road, listening to Bochy every day and talking to him about things. It helps. And I know Brady can break down a football game, like, you know, because he's seen it all. But I feel like those are things that, as the further he gets away from the game, the more he's going to need that kind of access. And now owning the Raiders, he won't have it.
That's,
or
I think, the key.
Partial ownership.
He knows a lot of the schemes. He knows a lot of the players. He played against these coaches. He played against these players. 10 years from now, and shorter than that, we see that Tony Romo, right? He's really struggling with that now because he knew everything. Those first 2 or 3 years, he knew all the coaches, he knew all the players, he knew all the scouting reports because he was studying those from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. for his job as a quarterback. And then once that goes away, you really need the access and to have the questions. And then hopefully you get good responses and good answers so you have a better idea on what's going to happen. Because also, think about how much the game of baseball has changed over the last 20 years. How much has football changed over the last 20 years? It's going to keep changing. Yeah. The rules are going to keep changing. The schemes are going to keep changing. The way that they disguise deals can keep changing. It'll be similar, but there'll be changes. And if you don't have what you want, the access, I think that 5-6 years from now, Brady could be, in a way, I think he'll still do a decent job, but he could be lost a little bit because he'll, like, I have no clue. I didn't play against these guys. 80% of the guys on this team, I don't even know who they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now,
from the 806, those rules are crap. Tom Brady's a stand-up guy. When's he ever shown signs of bending the rules to get the upper hand?
There's been a few incidences.
Name one.
Yeah, they all worked out.
that is a fair point. Oh, we're not supposed to use this person's name anymore. DH, who runs the football for the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, Derrick Henry, yeah.
Has been named the AFC Offensive Player of the Week for the second time this season.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Who knew? He is good.
I go to Italy and this guy starts.
He was good before you went to Italy.
Let me ask you this. What round was he drafted in?
Was it the second?
Second?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
What round was Ezekiel Elliott drafted in?
The first.
What years were they drafted?
Hey, You probably don't want to know the answer
same
to that.
Same year. They're the same age. I mean,
but also.
So I think this means that Zeke is about to get player of the week in the AFC a couple times.
I hope so.
If I can add to that, do you know Zeke's cap hit against the Cowboys this year is only $3 million higher than Derrick Henry's cap hit is against the Ravens? Did you know that? Fun fact for you.
Zeke loves the number three.
Is this going to be like yards per carry?
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys' favorite number is three. Like Sesame Street, the number of the year is three.
That is true.
They're 3-3. Brandon Aubrey has 750 field goals already after six games.
But yes, Derrick Henry has won Offensive Player of the Week for the AFC for the second time already this year.
They're averaging 150 yards.
It's unbelievable.
Per game?
More
than their opponents. Per game. That's amazing. That's wild, man.
It is. And we've talked about it.
The Cowboys almost beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Almost.
You could say that.
They came on strong late.
Yes. I guess some of those things you're saying are.
I watched that game. Late in the game, they had a chance.
That's true.
They ran out of time.
Late in the game, they definitely had a chance.
The time did run out. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Nobody knows. If they would have played another four quarters, nobody knows what the score would have been.
He's technically right.
Oh, stop what you're doing. The hip drop tackle.
Humpty dance?
That was supposed to be... I'm not doing it.
Okay.
That was supposed to be...
I didn't know this. Zeke's averaging actually 3.0 yards.
I didn't know that.
God.
He has 38 carries for 115 yards, which equals 3.0 yards per... But you know what his long is? On the year. You guys have watched all the Cowboy games. I've been in 12, Italy.
Nine!
He hasn't even carried a ball for a first down yet.
Well, 3 times 3 is 9.
That does make sense. Hey, just another fun fact for you.
It's not like Rico Daddle's tearing it up. His long carry is 13 yards.
I tweeted this out over the weekend as well. Did you know that the salary cap hit for Derrick Henry with the Ravens this year is approximately $1 million more than the salary cap hit for Michael Gallup on the Cowboys?
That's tough, man.
This season.
That's tough. Those are some bad decisions that you have to make up for and you have to answer to.
Can I ask you this question about Zeke since we're in the NFL thing?
Sure. Your vague understanding of these topics we do.
So I know they're not going to play 18 games. They're going to play 17 games. Zeke has 115 yards rushing right now. Times three is?
445. Excuse me, 345.
345. Over or under, Zeke has 345 yards this year.
I could see him getting to 400. I'll take the over on that because they're just waiting to deploy him.
I'll take the over just barely, though.
You don't feel great about it.
Yeah, this is not one of them.
But
because I just don't know the chances. I mean, what happens if Dalvin Cook gets out there, you know, and takes some reps?
Do you think they're just saving him for the second half?
I mean,
like they don't want to. He's kind of like the Roger Clemens of the Houston Astros.
We've been told that.
I'm not going to lie. A little tiny part of me thinks Dalvin Cook is going to break off like back-to-back 100-yard games and Jerry could be like, I told you. And I'd be like, well.
Trust the process.
If you have 115 yards after six games, don't you think the risk-reward of doing steroids as much as you can at this point?
I'm not going to advocate
it's
for the
reward of that.
It's only a
four-game suspension in the NFL, right? Is there at six?
I see where you're going, Mike. I don't think that's what we should be advocating.
Corey,
on
what
the
do you
show.
Think?
Were you asked the question?
No, you don't.
If you
want
only
to
have 115 yards after six games,
mm-hmm.
would you think about just pumping yourself full of steroids? It's only a few game suspension if you get caught. But what if you get good at football again?
What's your point?
I would not. I would not because steroids are bad, Mike. And that's why you didn't do them.
True. There's a whole bunch of home runs and Hall of Fames. I guess I won't say Hall of Fames, but there's a whole bunch of stats that would prove that steroids are great.
But they're not good for you, right? Like for your internal cooking.
I'm not sure.
I don't know if we should continue with what your answer is about to be, especially for youngsters.
Fair. Yeah, what about the kids on fall break right now, Mike, that are out there listening
well,
to
they
their
have
hero
testosterone
Mike
and all kinds of things flowing through their body. When you hit the age 30, it kind of slows down. Ask Zeke Elliott.
So, hey, what I was going to tell you is the NFL has seen 22 questionable hip drop tackles this season, penalized none of them. But they did fine seven people after the fact. It would always bother me to get fined for something that they didn't even rule in the game was illegal.
Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, what can the Cowboys fix during the bye week, or do you think it is already a lost cause? 877-881-1053. Let's do it next right here on The Fan.